Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. A mission agency doesn't compete with the local church. A mission agency doesn't take the place of a local church. The things that we do at GFA could be done right here at Trinity Bible Church if you had another 12 people on your staff. And basically, any church could have their own mission board if they wanted to invest the time and the money for that staff. And so what we do is not any secret thing. It's very plain. And we're not trying to take away anything from any church, but we're there to come alongside the churches and to help them do things that they aren't normally staffed to do. And in a nutshell, that's what a mission agency does, and that's what GFA does in this town of Greenville. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, Paul is speaking, and he says in verse 8, "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." That wide door of effective service is still open around the world today. We've got a wide door in the Philippines for a camp ministry that Josh Jones is excited to get started and he's working on right now. We've got camps in South America, a new camp in Germany. There's new opportunities for training national men in the Philippines where the Kamabayashiamas teach at the college there. Men who will go hundreds of miles from Manila back to their home and preach the word. Those doors are wide open still. But also, there are still many adversaries, and they come in many different shapes and sizes. And tonight, what I want to talk about to you is how to pray biblically for missionaries. How to pray biblically for missionaries. We're going to start out in Colossians chapter 4. Just go to a few passages tonight. If you want to turn there, Colossians chapter 4. And we're going to give you seven ways that you can pray biblically for your missionaries. I don't think we have a problem at Trinity in not praying for missionaries. I think we do that on a regular basis, and that's great. I think this may be something that could help you pray more specifically and know that you're praying biblically, because these are prayers that the Apostle Paul has asked to be prayed. So, Colossians chapter 4, and in verse 3, he says, "Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned." Pray for opportunity. Open doors for witnessing. Open doors for witnessing. Not every country is as free as we are here, and sometimes we kind of forget that. In our country, and this part of the country especially, the freedom we have, in many, many countries around the world, they have to be careful how they witness. They're not free to meet even. Tonight, I'd like to share with you some of the letters that we receive at GFA that relate to these points that I'm going to bring across to you. And this first one, Open Doors for Witnessing, Forrest McPhail sent a letter to us that says this: "It is clear from the ordinances passed from the Ministry of Cults and Religion in Phnom Penh that the Cambodian government at least wants to appear to restrict religious liberty. Many believe it is just a matter of time before restrictions will be enforced. If the government were to begin to oppress Christians through these restrictive ordinances, our position here could become tenuous. We pray that any attempt to enforce these restrictions would be set aside and that the government will have a clear commitment to religious liberty. And Cambodia is not the only country that is having those kinds of restrictions right now." So when you pray for your missionaries, pray for open doors for opportunity. And then pray for boldness. Look in verse 4 there of Colossians. "That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." As the Lord opens the doors of opportunity for your missionaries, they need that boldness to step through the doors. I think all of us can think of times when the Lord opened a door for us to witness to a neighbor or to somebody at a store, and we hesitated, and we didn't take the opportunity. Your missionaries are just like you, and they face the same fears, the same concerns. They need our prayers for boldness. Tim Berry, a missionary that works with Phil Kamibayashiyama in the Philippines, recently had the opportunity to take the gospel to the United Arab Emirates. This is what he said. Are there any of you with a heart for Muslims, a love for challenge, and a Christian sense of adventure? Do you realize that an American can easily get a good paying job in the United Arab Emirates as a teacher or in some other professional capacity? You could live in the UAE, work a job, build friendships with people of diverse nationalities, and preach Christ by life and lip to those who have never heard. The work would not be easy, but how rewarding it is to bear personal testimony of what Jesus has done for you to a Muslim groping for truth. True, they say on average it takes 200 to 250 givings of the gospel before a Muslim is saved, but that is part of the challenge. Where are the Christians today who are willing to pray a prayer like Morrison's? Is there a risk involved? Absolutely. But the Muslim world will not be reached without taking some risks. Pray for your missionaries that they'll have the boldness like Brother Tim and his desires to go to places that are risky. Pray for clarity. Look in verse 4 of Colossians 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Clarity. If it's not clear, the national people will just add this God to their list of gods. They must have it in a way that they can understand it to their language. And as a missionary, that usually means learning their language or learning one of the languages they speak, the language that they like to speak when they talk about spiritual things, so that the missionary can present the gospel in a clear way. Randy and Bonnie Studdard's co-workers, the Bachmans, give a report concerning this. Responses to the gospel can be so varied. In our predominantly Muslim land, if the response is too positive, we leave wondering whether our message was actually understood. Visits like the following at least encourage us that the message was clear. One afternoon, Wasa and Zane pedaled through the mud to the closest village just south of Makari. Since the chief was not home, the men told them to return another day. They ventured on to another hut and paid a visit to Saeed, a blind man with leprosy. But again, their hearts were grieved when he refused to let them speak of the one who can restore fingerless nubs and clouded sight with a perfect body on the resurrection day. So they continued on to the next village, where they were directed to the chief. They found him with about 15 other men sitting on mats and rugs around a round thatched shelter. Wasa and Zane stooped under the overhang and greeted the chief and his notables who were sitting with him. Some of them knew Wasa. Because of Wasa's presence, they allowed Zane to preach, but showed definite signs of disapproval. At one point, after Zane read Romans 10:9 from the Arabic New Testament, one man blurted out, "We know Jesus as a prophet, but we will not accept him as Lord." The man then physically turned his back on the messengers of peace while closing his heart to the God of peace. I don't know if Joe or Sam are here tonight. They may have been on one of those trips that report was written about. Pray for clarity. The missionary can get the gospel message across in a way that the national truly understands. And then pray for effectiveness. Effectiveness. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Pray for your missionary to be effective. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That the word of God would be effective, that it would work a change in the hearts of the national people. That the word of God would run and be glorified. God is glorified when he sees his word worked out in us, just like it being worked out in a person in another country. And how is it worked out? Well, being here at church glorifies God as we sing, as we worship, as we read scripture and think about him. That's only a small portion of our week. We glorify God the rest of the week as well, by the way we live, by the way we live at home with our families, the way we live at our job place. God's Word works a change in our lives. And that change is what the missionary needs to see in the people that they are witnessing to and that they are discipling. So pray for an effective change. Some of these people are coming from idolatry, and there is much, much to change. Walter and Carol Loescher sent this letter after a recent trip into the jungle there in Cameroon. All men are not imprisoned with chains of steel or bars of iron. Some are bound by superstition and idolatry. Tom Needham, a fellow missionary pilot, flew a team into the remote area of Akoya near the Nigerian border. The village people who live in this area worship their ancestors and idols. An idol may be something as simple as a morsel of wood or a clump of clay decorated with feathers. Yet each of these inanimate objects, once fabricated, rules over its creator with fetters of fear that bind not the hands but the heart of its maker. Ellen Doyle was also on that trip. She mentions this. It was a blessing to see men and women come to Christ and listen to the Word of God with an eagerness and hunger. It was a special joy to see a young man named Frederick publicly burn his charms and idols after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he burned them, other villagers warned him of the dangers he would face without his supernatural protection. Yvette, a young lady from another village, had charms and idols on her necklace that she cut off. She had other idols she wanted to burn, but her grandmother hid them from her. Five people were baptized in the mountain stream at Olulu on the last day of the outreach. Pray for effectiveness in the people that our missionaries work with, that the Word of God would truly run and be glorified in their lives. And then pray for protection. I think as we pray for our missionaries, protection is probably one of the first things that comes to our mind. And that's a good prayer request. It's a biblical prayer request. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." You have some missionaries in remote parts of this world. You think of Terry and Rachel Richard serving in Papua New Guinea. And the area where they are now, it's still remote, even though not as remote as the place where it was at the very beginning. Mike Bourbon, who served near where Terry and Rachel originally served, wrote this about his village. And I think you can see the need for prayer for physical, spiritual, emotional, and intellectual protection. Last Sunday, a tribal fight nearly came up right beside the church. Marmy, the ungodly brother of a church member, punched the lost father of a church member, Andrew, assuming that the damage done to his garden was done by the church member's pig. One of Andrew's pigs had damaged his garden earlier, and Marmy had killed it. Of course, this was no justification for hitting an elderly man and knocking out several of his teeth, and a number of Christians testified that Andrew's pig was actually tied up when the garden was damaged. Both sides began gathering cartridges for their illegal shotguns in case the other side attacked. Praise the Lord that no further blows were exchanged. The matter was settled through a court case, and we are praising the Lord. Because of the alignments within the families, most of the people in our immediate area would have been involved in the fighting. Aren't you glad we don't have to deal with that at Trinity? And then traveling over there, we're very familiar with the accident that Terry and Rachel had on that mountain road. Mike has to make trips in the road into town on a frequent basis on a road similar to the one Terry went off the edge on. Now, this is a story of the Lord's protection on him on one trip. In the department of the Lord's care for us, your prayers have been abundantly answered. On a recent trip for building materials, I and my boss crew helper were able to break out of the bush. We had been blocked in the bush on and off since last year by landslides. The next day on the return trip, we had some tire problems, and I almost decided to spend the night in Goroka because rainy season is in full swing, but instead forged on toward home, which is about a 7-hour drive. At about 6 p.m. on the bush road, the rear leaf spring snapped with an impressive bang and a hard list to port. The fender was actually rubbing on my new tire. With an extremely heavy load of supplies, the worst part of the bush road still ahead, the rain beginning to fall, and darkness increasing, there were very few smiles between me and my boss crew. In fact, to say that we were discouraged doesn't quite capture the scene by a long shot. We were in the middle of shaping a 2x3 into a king-sized wedge when a woman walked up and asked us what the problem was. On finding out that we had a broken spring, she calmly replied that she had a complete set of springs at her house that would fit our truck. Honestly, if your neighbor there in the States walked up to you and said they were keeping a baby elephant in their backyard, you wouldn't be more surprised than I was. We finished our wedge, limped down the mountain to the next village, and pulled into a proper carport. This would be like your neighbor keeping a baby rhinoceros. Remember, it's raining outside, so they had some cover. At about 10:30 p.m., we were leaving Mata's house with our borrowed spring, and we arrived safely home at 2 a.m. Only the Lord could have orchestrated this miracle, in quotations. If you knew more about the culture of P&G in the bush, you would have me take the quotes off, miracle. That's what your prayers can do, and that's what these folks need to keep them safe on roads like that. But not all your missionaries live in the bush. Some are in city works, more modern countries. They need that protection just as well as you do here in this country. In a modern country, there are accidents that happen. There's violence. We need to pray for protection. And then we need to pray for acceptance. This is one we don't normally think about. Romans 15 and verse 31. Pray for acceptance. Paul says, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." A missionary goes to a new country. He learns a new culture. He learns a new language. But oftentimes he's still, or she is still, the American. And they're not really accepted. And it takes time. And then they want to proclaim the gospel, which in some cultures is very much opposed. And it's not accepted. And you need to pray that they would have acceptance by the people where they minister. Jerry and Linda Craven minister in New Zealand. This is what Jerry wrote. "A few weeks ago, our neighborhood watch group sent out a letter to everyone on our street about an informational meeting concerning the Taupo Bible Church being building a proposal. They neglected to put the letter in our letterbox. However, our next door neighbor showed us their copy. It was then that we realized we have moved into a neighborhood that is rallying support to oppose the church building plans that are underway. The purpose of the neighborhood watch meeting was to try to convince everyone that there would be negative consequences should a church be allowed on our street." Pray for acceptance, that the towns, the countries that these missionaries work in, they will find acceptance there. And then finally, pray for refreshment. Pray for seasons of spiritual and physical rejuvenation. In verse 32 of Romans 15, "that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." It can be discouraging at times when you're in another country that doesn't feel like home to you, when you are experiencing some of the cultural changes or differences in that country, or when you're actually being persecuted by folks in that country for being there to share the gospel. And your missionaries need that encouragement. They need seasons of spiritual and physical rejuvenation. Tom Franzen serves in Albania, probably one of the most difficult GFA fields, where there is intense persecution, almost 100% Muslim there where he works. He wrote this: "The creativity of lost people in their attempts to keep others from coming to Christ or growing in faith have been quite obviously lately. People come to visit when we are beginning to have a Bible study in a home, or make sure to visit right before our people are leaving for church. Since the people are all terrified that they will be judged and gossiped about if they don't follow their unwritten laws of hospitality, they usually stay home and don't come to church. Whether the hindrances are harsh or simply tricky, they seem to be quite successful in tripping people up from following God. Our biggest surprise is that we can still be stunned and sometimes depressed when we see it going on. Then this produces frustration, anger, and indifference on our part. These emotions can be quite harmful to our walk with God and our testimony. The upkeep on one's own spiritual condition is not only part of our Christian walk, but a major part. And in this area, we are constantly in need of prayer. Pray for seasons of spiritual and physical refreshment for your missionary. For they are human, just like we are. They get depressed, just like we do. And sometimes they have even more reasons to be depressed than we do. Pray for them that they'll get those seasons of spiritual refreshment. Pray for them that their walk with the Lord, their daily time with the Lord, would be strong, that they would be able to keep up the spiritual schedule that faces them. Pray for opportunity. Pray for boldness. Pray for clarity, effectiveness, protection, acceptance, refreshment. Those are seven biblical ways to pray for your missionary. We have a bookmark on the table in the lobby that has those seven words on there that you can put in your Bible, use to remind yourself when you pray for your missionaries each day. I think it will be a great blessing to them. We get calls from pastors at the GFA office each week wanting to know maybe the support level of a missionary, wanting to know whether this missionary has any special needs at this time, sometimes asking what is the best way our church can help our missionary. What can we do? This is the best way you can help your missionary, by praying specifically for them, praying biblically for them. It will be a great help to them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would challenge our hearts tonight to pray specifically and biblically for our missionaries. We thank you for the folks that Trinity supports. We think of Mike and Faith tonight in Mexico. We think of Greg going to see John and Sophie, of Ben and Di, of Rachel and Terry, and the many others all over the world. We pray for them tonight specifically that you would give them encouragement, seasons of spiritual encouragement and physical as well. We pray that you would give them an acceptance with the people that they work with, that they would listen. We pray that you would make the message that they proclaim be effective in changing lives. Give them boldness, open doors of opportunity for them. And we pray for protection, that you would protect them this night. For some, they're starting Monday already, that you would bless their day and protect them in their ministry. Give us a burden to pray all day when we have times for our missionaries as their ministries go on 24 hours a day around the world. Impress that on our hearts tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.